Now we're going to be doing the Gospel of John, chapter 6, and we're starting now the discourse. You remember in chapter 6, at the Feast of Passover was near, and Jesus was out in the wilderness, but a grassy wilderness, and he multiplied bread and declared himself the new Moses. Everybody got it. It's Passover. Passover is all about getting out of Egypt, being fed by manna, being led by God to the promised land. And so then he went back across the lake, and they all followed him. They got in the little boats and came back, and we did that last time, and they said, you see, when did you get here? And so forth. Now, see, when the crowd saw that Jesus wasn't there, and that his disciples had gone into the boats, they got into boats, and went over to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. That's beautiful. Problem is, they're looking for thrills, sandwich. You know, they're not looking for Jesus. That's what he says, you see. And finding him on the other side of the lake, which was a big surprise to them, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answers them, Amen, amen, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, which would be superficial enough, but because you ate the loaves and were well fed. And now he starts to challenge them. Work. Remember how I said before that you work for wisdom, but that is given as a gift. The theme starts here, you see. I think we touched on this last time, but we have to pick it up so that we can go on. Work, not for the food that perishes, but for the food that remains for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. You see that? Work, and the Son of Man will give it to you. There's a beautiful text in the book of Proverbs. Maybe I'll read it to you. It's a typical text. There's a lot more, but somehow this one sticks in my mind all the time. Proverbs 2, my son, if you're looking for wisdom, you've got to drop everything. You've got to work for it. You've got to, you know, let me see. All right. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands, turning your ear to wisdom, inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call to intelligence and to understanding, raise your voice. If you seek her like silver and like hidden treasures, search her out. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord. The knowledge of God you will find, for the Lord gives wisdom. It's a gift. Well, I had to work for it. No. The work was to get you ready to receive the gift. I used to teach this, you know, to college students. And I thought, now, you want to admire somebody who's got his mind on a career. I remember meeting this neurosurgeon who, since he was in grammar school, wanted to be a neurosurgeon. And he was a great one. He was still young, but he said, you know, he was a Jewish boy, man. He said, now that I'm in practice, I realize that I can't relate to my patients like a human being. All I've done my whole life is science to get here. So I bought the great books. This is a noble man. I brought the great books and I'm reading them to round myself out as a human being. But you see that single-mindedness he had? That's what it is. You want wisdom? You got to be like that guy. Or like the businessman who says, I want to be a success. So he buys the right suit. He joins the right country club. He marries the right woman. He does, you know, everything to get ahead, get ahead, get ahead. What is he getting? His money. Then what? Nothing. How many bored alcoholics are like that? You see? But the idea of dropping everything and searching for wisdom, That's not a bad idea. Well, I got a family to raise. All right, I'll make a deal with you. For 1 week, drop everything and go on retreat and search for wisdom. You can't do it 52 weeks a year. You got a family. But you can do it like that. Set it aside. I'm too busy. You're not too busy to save your soul. You're not too busy to learn wisdom. You see? And so, work. Not for the food that perishes, but for the food that remains for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. You work, and I'll give it to you. Because all your work added together and multiplied by 10 will never bring you to wisdom. It's a gift. I give it to you. It reminds me of a joke. I hope this is not an irreverent joke. This priest was riding in a donkey cart with the farmer over in Ireland. The donkey stopped. So the farmer got a hold of his whip and he was smacking that donkey and screaming at him and cursing a blue streak. Finally, the priest said, "Where did you learn to curse like that?" He said, "You can't learn it, Father. It's a gift." But this is really a gift, you see. But you work for it and it's given to you. Okay. So then they say to him, "What must we do that we might perform the works of God?" What do we have to do? See? What are the works of God? Listen to the answer. This is the work of God, that you believe in the one whom he sent. The work of God is the work that God does. I have a little text here where I've sort of marked up a lot of that, where you see it, you see? My Father does this, you see? And all who have heard from the Father and have learned, come to me. We'll see that in verse 45, you see? And many texts like it. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. You can't do it on your own. Well, I'm going to sit back and wait for God. No, 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 no. If you yield to that movement of the Holy Spirit and work, then your heart is open, and when God gives it to you, you can possess it. The wisdom of God. Jesus living in your own being, talking to you, feeding you, giving you his body and blood at least every Sunday, and living by wisdom, knowing what to do with all these things that are happening to us these days. Shall I go out and hide out in the desert and bring a lot of stuff with me and make sure my family is taken care of, or should I stay here and try to help everybody else? What should I do? Ask the Lord. Well, I don't talk to him. You better start. He will talk to you. This is what he's promising, you see? This is the work, that you believe in the one whom he sent. And that work is the work that the Father does in us. Okay? Then they said to him, "What sign do you do that we might see and believe you? What do you work? What do you work?" Huh? They're looking for accreditation. Having just multiplied those loaves and fed 5,000, that's not enough. What is this seeking for signs? It's saying, force me to believe. You can't be forced. It's a free act. You've got to do it yourself. You see? You can't be forced. That means that there'll come a point when you've just got to say, "I trust you. Yes, I believe." And step into a new world. Now the Lord will be there to help. You see? Because if the truth is not there, nobody comes to me unless the Father draw him. There's a drawing of the Father, and you yield to it, and then you feed on Jesus. So that's what's being said. So then they say, "Well, what sign do you do that we might see and believe?" Got it? See and believe. What work do you do? Force me to believe. Now they make the right connection. Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, "Bread from heaven he gave them to eat." And that's from the psalm. Kind of a summation of Psalm 78 and another psalm. But he gave them. He gave them bread. You see? Then Jesus answered them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven." Now listen carefully. "It was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven. Rather, my Father gives you now the bread from heaven, which is true." My Father gives it to you. Now. It wasn't Moses who gave you that bread back there. It was my Father. And you know that. Just read the text. But you've made such a big deal out of Moses, you forgot. It was my Father who gave you that bread. And I am that bread. And I was that bread back there. All your great theologians talked about that manna being teaching, being wisdom. And not just something to eat. It's a sacrament of wisdom. If you pick up that bread in the desert, that manna in the desert, and you look up to God and you say, "Thank you," you're a wise man. And that food will, that gift will nourish you. That food will nourish you. Whereas if you run out there and gather as much as you can and stuff your face and never look up, you might eat, but you're no wiser. You see? So, rather, my Father gives you the bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that coming down from heaven and giving life to the world. That's God's bread. I, he says, am God's bread. You see? He says, my Father will give you the bread from heaven, which is true. Now, we've done this before in John, if you remember, I think. We certainly must have. "I'm the true vine," we'll hear that later, and so forth. You see, true worshipers, back in 4. True, see, not as opposed to false, but as opposed to imperfect. There is a vine, huh? "I'm the true vine," he says in 15. But Israel's called a vine in Isaiah 5. It's the imperfect vine, the preparatory vine. The true vine is Jesus himself. So the manna was preparatory bread. It was a gift from God. But the true bread by which you live forever, you see, is every word coming from the mouth of God. And that word coming from God is the Lord Jesus himself. So we feed on him. His wisdom, his teaching, his presence, his movement in our hearts. We feed on him. And then there's more. When we get to verse 51, all of a sudden, instead of saying that, you see, "I'm the bread of life," he starts saying, "I am the living bread." And all of a sudden, this talk about wisdom concretizes itself into the Eucharist. "I am the living bread come down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give," and now, no mistaking, "is my flesh for the life of the world." And at that point, this whole discourse takes on a much deeper level. "I am the wisdom of God." Yes. "And you can feed on me like wisdom. But I'll give you my body and my blood, which was offered to you on the cross, so that I can be with you physically. That's how much I love you." And so, that's the way this John 6, which we're going to have to continue to look at as we go on, you see, and giving life to the world, "Sir, give us this bread always." And this is where Jesus finally says it. "I am the bread of life. The one coming to me will not hunger. The one believing in me will not thirst ever." Coming to Jesus is a synonym for believing. You see, so the one coming to me, the one believing in me, he'll never be hungry. The deepest part of his being will be satisfied. And if that is satisfied, there is peace. Even if there's trouble and tribulation and opposition and persecution, I am with you. And I am your bread. Amen.